Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. It is the 25th of March.
The year almost said November, didn't you? Almost said November.
I don't know. It's every month feels the same right now. But we are coming with you with a condensed podcast because I'm on a time constraint right now. I'm on a baby's bedtime constraint. I got my recording studio or studios. I got my office where I record this podcast is also being shared by the baby's crib. So his bedtime's at 7 sharp. I can't push it. Can't push it anymore. So we got a little bit of time. Might be a shorter episode, but who cares? Who really gives a fuck at this point? You know, Sam, do you?
No, I don't really think it's going to be that important in the grand
scheme. Will it make or break our podcast career if this episode is shorter than the other ones?
I don't think so.
Well, then I will do it. I will risk it. I believe we have an email.
Oh my God. Make sure you proofread it first before you,
Let me see. Let me just go take a look. See here. TPS pod 420. What the fuck? I don't have one. I don't have any emails in here, despite being promised an email.
Oh, that hurts.
I think I might have to fight Bonnie for real. For real fist fight. She'd probably beat me up because she's knows how to box. So maybe not. Maybe I won't. If she had a podcast, we could start some podcast beef, though. That would be
fun.
So, Bonnie, if you're not going to write in, at least start a podcast we can beef with. All right? Do the right thing. Do the right thing.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? What happened since last time? Has it been 2 weeks? It's been a week.
Yeah, I think it's been two weeks.
Who knows? All right. Yeah, I went to Victoria, had a great time. Sometimes you don't feel good after going on the road comedy-wise in Canada when you're an unknown comedian. But I had a great time in Victoria. I did some great shows. Shout out to Nash at OK Dope Productions for putting me on his show. And Dan Duvall at Heckler's, who is a great comedian, awesome dude, took me out for sushi, was a wonderful man. And Faris Haitima, who recorded his special on those nights I was doing, on the night I was doing the Heckler's Comedy Club. It's a risk to put a comedian you don't know or have never heard of on your show while when you're recording your special. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, that is a risk. That's makes things a little spicier.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't know what I talk about or how I am or if I can even do the job. I might have a history of tanking. I guess it came in down to Dan Duvall's vouching for me. So really, this is a testament to how Dan Duvall's word is gold in the Victoria comedy scene. So
yeah, goddamn.
Yeah. So if you're ever in the town with any three of those people, Nash Park, Dan Duvall, Faris Haitima. I met a few other comedians that were really funny too. I just can't recall their names, but...
Were you also in Nanaimo?
No, I was supposed to go there, but my plane got canceled that morning. As I was walking out the door, my mom came downstairs. I was like, oh, your flight's canceled. I was like, fucking, so I didn't get...
How did your mom know your flight was canceled?
Well,
knew your flight was canceled.
She actually has the wherewithal to check flights before she leaves the airport. She's been burnt before, I guess.
Oh yeah. You got to have the live updates, especially in this day and age.
Well, I've learned my lesson now. So anyways, I didn't get to Victoria till about midnight. Then I checked into the sketchiest. I didn't know Victoria even had sketchy parts of town, but I checked into a very sketchy hostel. You had like 3 keys to get to your room because there were so many like gates and fences in the building you had to get through. And then my window wouldn't close. So I was just hearing like the weather is just coming in, hearing all the crackheads. It was like crackhead central out there. Pretty sure I almost got mugged right when I got there. I left. So basically my room at this hostel, it was private. So I like can't complain really, but holy shit, it was legit the size to the inch of my mattress. Like you have enough room to place your shoes in front of your bed. And that was it. I guess there was a tiny fridge there too, but point is it was all bed and I was like, I need to get something to drink. So I went and I left my, the hostel at about, you know, 12:30, 1 a.m. and immediately started noticing a lot of homeless people walking around. Not like East Hastings, Vancouver, but like more than I thought was at in Victoria. I didn't think they really had that big of an issue, but I guess every city does these days. Anyways, I'm walking. And I see these guys walk by me, and one of them's a big guy. He's wearing a mask, like a COVID mask, and he's got a baseball bat slung over his shoulder. And he's got another guy with him and another guy on BMX trailing slightly behind, and I make eye contact with all of them.
Oops.
And I keep walking. Yeah, oops is right. I keep walking, and I just check over my shoulder just like to check and see, and they were all stopped looking back at me. But once I like looked back and they saw that I was like aware of them, they kind of like turned back around and kept walking. I think they were like legit considering like blunt, like sucker punching me or hitting me with the bat or something. Warriors style, you know? Oh, Warriors. It felt like, you know, the Warriors, you know, that movie, the game.
Oh, yeah.
Great movie. See, if gangs were still like that or ever were like that, I'd be way more into joining a gang. I feel like they kind of were like that in the 70s, you know? Everybody's got costumes and like a good look, a solid brand. That's what the gangs of this day and age lacking. Good branding.
They still have branding, but I think it's like literal branding. Like,
Well, we got the Creeps and the Bloods. They got a color. I mean, they have colors. You know, the Hell's Angels, they still got the vests. Like, you can recognize a Hell's Angel patch from a mile away.
Yep, they have a whole patch system.
Yeah, they have the patch system.
It's all organized.
Good system. They should stick with it. But like, other than them, you know, and the Bloods and the Crips, like you could be wearing, like anyone could be wearing a blue or red bandana, and I don't know for sure if they're in the gang, right? So, but the Warriors, if you haven't watched that movie, dear listener, go watch it. There's a great, great movie about gangs in the 70s that's also very like campy and fun, and it's a good time. So go watch it.
Yeah, that's that movie, The Gang. It's kind of like a, that's like a basically, I haven't seen it, but it's
what the heck?
But they're not like these gangs, they're not based on, they don't have any economic function, right? Like they're not engaged in drug dealing. There's gangs. They have honor. They have their honor. That's the only thing that's at stake, right?
They have like territories that they defend and stuff. So like each gang cannot go into the other gang's territory or it's like fisticuffs. Now, I think they are very old school street gangs in the fact that like guns are heavily frowned upon. If I recall.
Right.
So they use like
weapons.
Yes. They use, you know, baseball bats and you know, switchblades and shit.
Yeah.
But if I recall in the movie, they don't use guns generally. So they're more like friend groups that are violent and don't like encountering other people. The whole movie starts off with the one big gang leader, like one of the best, most powerful gangs. He had invited all the gangs, and I think it's New York, to this one giant park. And he's trying to unite the gangs all as one so they can take over the city. And that's where the famous line, "Can you dig it?" That's when he's like asking everybody if they're down. Big cheer. Anyways, don't want to spoil anything, but that's where the movie starts. And the whole movie is about the Warriors having to get back to their territory, but they have to go through a bunch of other gangs' territories in order to get back. And so it's like every, you know, there's like a scene where they have to confront this gang. And then once they're done that, they have to confront this other gang. And all the gangs they confront are like, you know, vastly different in personality and style and branding. So it's just a fun movie. Fucking watch it, Sam. Watch it tonight. You smoke one of those fat joints that you keep around and you watch that movie. I guarantee you'll have a good time.
It sounds kind of like The Odyssey, if you will.
Okay. Elaborate.
They go to this location, then they have to go home through a series of trials.
Is The Odyssey, like, what is that?
It's just Odysseus is at Troy. Troy's done. They finished.
Oh, right.
He does the whole Trojan horse.
Right.
And then it's his journey back to Ithaca through enemy territory, more or less.
See, the only part of that story I know is getting to Troy and fucking up Troy.
Right? Getting to Troy is the Iliad. The Iliad is they go to Troy and they fight at Troy.
Oh.
And then the Odyssey starts. I think the Odyssey starts with the Trojan horse. I can't quite remember. The Trojan horse might be off screen or like off stage. But yeah, there's like Iliad is the war against Troy.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it was one of these movies that was like basically taking a framework from a classic piece of literature and using.
Okay, well, what in the movie? What is the impetus for this one? Who is this guy who tries to unite all the clans or the gangs? And why does he?
He's trying to unite them. I don't know. All I know is like the leader of the biggest gang, and then the inciting incident. If you don't mind a spoiler from a frickin' 50-year-old movie.
Let's go.
During the speech, I think if I recall, he gets assassinated. He gets shot with a gun.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Intriguing.
And no one knows who did it, so all the gangs are blaming each other immediately. So they're about to unite. Then it's all, every gang is like for themselves immediately, right? Because everybody's blaming each other suddenly.
Yeah.
And so that's why the gangs, that's why the warriors are so far away from their territory, because everybody was guaranteed safety for this meeting, right? But after the assassination, everybody's on full lockdown, but they're so far away from their territory, they're trying to get back to it. But they have to get through all these other gangs' territories that are now hostile, because I don't remember if they get, the warriors specifically get blamed for the assassination, but it's basically all bets are off and everybody's like, you know, it's every gang for themselves.
And the fact that he gets shot is insult to injury, because it's the coward's weapon.
Yeah. Exactly. So people are pissed, right?
So is
go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So is this guy, is he like to borrow from Game of Thrones? Is he like a Mance Rayder type, where he's trying to unite them so that they can defeat a more dangerous enemy, or is it just?
I want to say they do have. He's wanting to go against the police with his gangs, right?
Oh, okay.
Directly he's uniting all the gangs so that they can oppose the NYPD directly. And I don't know for sure if that's why. I'm just going by memory. I literally haven't watched the movie in 10 years, but it's a great movie. I'm going to watch it again. Because the acting, I mean, it's like, it's not great acting or anything, but it's just one of those, it's just one of those classics. And then I played the video game. So they made a video game about this movie, like, I don't know, fucking 30 years after it was made. Mm-hmm. And I remember playing that as a, you know, middle school kid and it's all right. That's my alarm going off. How unprofessional. The game I actually played, sorry guys, sorry all of you people that are listeners, where my alarm keeps going off. So I don't know if I actually saw the movie before I played the video game. I think the video game came first, and then many years later I actually watched the movie for the first time and I loved it.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. So yeah, I'm reading the little overview thing on Wikipedia. And you know what? It's funny. You're right. They're saying the film is based on Saul Urich's 1965 novel, The Warriors, which was in turn based on Xenophon's Anabasis, which is literally from 370 BC.
But it's not the Odyssey.
And it's okay. So here's what it's about. It's so Xenophon was an ancient Greek professional soldier and writer and like, kind of historian, I guess. And so he wrote, this is an account of the expedition of the 10,000, an army of Greek mercenaries hired by Cyrus the Younger to help him seize the throne of Persia from his brother Artaxerxes II in 401 BC.
Okay, so Cyrus is the name of the gang leader. I'm like 99% sure Cyrus is the name of the gang leader that gets assassinated.
And you are correct, Cyrus, leader of the Gramercy Riffs, the most powerful gang in New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you dig it?
Okay. Interesting. So in this, so they want to, the police. Okay. Yeah.
So what is it? Just give us an overview. Cause I forget. And you know what? It's been out for,
no, there's no reason. He just says they want to take over from the police cause they outnumber the police 3-1.
Okay. So it is just to go against the police.
Yeah. But there's not, I don't see, okay, hold on, I'm just going to control F, drugs. Nope.
No, I don't remember anything about drugs or anything like that in this.
Gambling. So it seems like it's just about like,
it's just these about gangs territory. Are like,
it's territory and honor, basically.
Yeah. Well, they're basically like friend groups
yeah.
that got
carried away.
I mean, that should be the essence of a gang, right? Like, there shouldn't be. You don't need to sell drugs to be in a gang, right?
No.
The point is you have territory.
They do. they like tagging. It's like they want to be able to party and be like unmolested by the police, basically. And like they do a lot of like graffiti, at least in the video game that was a part of it, was graffitiing. And, you know, they all have their like harem of women and like territories that they defend. I don't know what the benefit of having a larger territory is if you're not selling drugs, but.
I think
remember.
This is bragging rights. Like, we have the biggest territory. We're the biggest, baddest
could be,
gang
could
in
be.
The whole town.
I mean, they are all about branding. So, like, it's all about perception, you know? Maybe not about the dollar bills. Because if I recall, their gang hideout is not exceptionally ballin'.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it seems like it's way more... it's not... The gangs are not about...
It's troubled youth groups
troubled
is really
groups.
What it is. Yeah. If I remember correctly, they're all kind of young. They're like supposed to be like 20 at their oldest, right? So they're
well, you don't live long when you're in the gangs.
Yeah. Did you ever happen to read the book Run Baby Run?
I've seen Gone Girl Gone.
Yeah, fucking basically the same thing. No, it's a biography of a guy who was a leader of like a violent gang in the 70s or 50s. I don't remember. I think it was the 50s.
Yeah, oh, okay.
The Mau Maus. He was the leader of the Mau Maus. And it shows it was the stories about how he became the leader of this gang in New York back in the 50s. It was in their 50s or 60s. And they're all like, you know, this is like leather jacket. Keeping a comb in your pocket for your hair gel, you know, type of thing. And they would do like Molotov cocktails and like stab people. And like once in a while, someone would get shot, but it like described their lifestyle. I do not think was about drug dealing. It was about basically who can get the most powerful gang, like who's the most feared. That was their whole thing. And he became the most feared gang leader in New York when he was like, you know, 20, and it described like how he got in the gang, and like it's a great book, but at the end it becomes a story about him becoming a Christian, so it kind of ruined it for me. But
he joins the ultimate gang.
The ultimate gang, yeah. But a lot of it, if I remember correctly, is more about just like bravado and like muscle and having all the women and all the drugs and all the cigarettes. Cigarettes were a big thing for him, if I recall. But not a whole lot of organized money-making crime happening.
Okay,
but I
so
do remember
is,
that
yeah,
him specifically talking about like some of his gang members would make like Molotov cocktails and then they would like explode in their hands and kill them.
Oof.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
Run, baby, run.
Okay, yeah, I dig it. This is like, can
you
I dig it? Yes.
You can dig it. Okay, perfect. Yeah. That's good to hear. You know who'll be
well,
happy
cool. it's
about
like
that
a, it's like
is
a,
Cyrus. Cyrus would love this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's so different from, it's like a fantasy almost.
Yes.
Because it's about honor. It's about strength. It's not about
strength.
It's not about Tony, what's it called?
Tony Soprano.
Tony Soprano or Scarface.
No. Totally different vibe.
Yeah, totally.
It's about roaming the streets and howling at the moon, that basically. And like, don't you dare coming over here because we're going to have to beat the shit out of you. And like, don't steal our women. Don't steal our liquor and cigarettes and stuff. Like, this is all about, you know, and they get a thrill of sneaking into enemy territory and leaving a giant tag on one of their walls, right? The warriors were here.
Mm. So they don't want to be like, they don't want to be Tony Montana. That's interesting.
No. They're too young. You got to think more of like in the mind of like a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not. Yeah. Tony Montana is too smart, too ambitious.
Yeah.
He's got all these ambitions. He wants the whole world.
These are starter gangs. All right.
Yeah.
Starter gangs. Starter gangs. That's what they are. Okay.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So I honestly, Sam, I'm surprised you haven't seen it. You would love it. So tonight, that's your homework. Rip a fat J and then go on an adventure with the Warriors. Fuck, I might watch it tonight.
Man, do they vandalize any Teslas in the movie?
Teslas? No, but that would be funny. Okay, the Cybertruck recall thing has got to be one of the funniest things I've seen. I mean, it was until this goddamn war room group chat story. Like, it's every week there's some fucking, are you serious? But the Cybertruck thing was hilarious because it's like probably at the worst time in the history of the company to have this massive recall on an extremely dangerous flaw in one of your biggest, most
fucking. So what was the flaw? What's the defect?
Okay, so there's, you know, all this bulletproof metal paneling on the truck itself, right?
Oh, turns I didn't out, know the paneling was. I thought yeah, just the windows the whole, are bulletproof.
I'm pretty sure the whole thing boasts bulletproof.
Supposed to be. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But it turns out they were literally glued on. So these 9-foot pieces of steel were ripping off, getting ripped off by the wind and hurled down the street, which is like,
what?
I'm surprised no one's been killed. And I'm pretty sure the self-driving Teslas have a bad record, safety record as well. But like, you just pile all that onto the, you know, the terrorists that are attacking all these Tesla dealerships, and then you have the stock plummeting, and then now you have to recall almost every fucking Cybertruck. There's a Cybertruck that drives around our city, and I make sure to look at the guy's face when I drive by him, and it never looks like he's stoked to be driving the Cybertruck. I'm sure he. It was exciting when it got delivered that day, but due to recent events, it must be embarrassing to own one of those if you have any sense of like.
God.
But then this whole everybody's in a group chat talking about, like, it seems to me like that is almost an un. They won't be able to justify that fuck up in any way. Like, the spin doctors are going to be working overtime trying to figure out a way to make this sound like not as big a mistake as it is.
Oh, yeah, they already are doing that.
Yeah. So we'll see what, I mean, it's just this thing where it seemed like, you know, Trump, if he did something like that, everybody would just, he seems untouchable. So maybe his cabinet is.
He had classified documents in his bathroom at Mar-a-Lago illegally. I know. And got away with it.
Don't people give a shit about this? I think stuff like this specific fuck up is one of the fuck ups that actually will upset his voting base. A lot, because it's, you know, it's military personnel, it's national security, it's, you know, a lot of people on the right have people in the military that they know and love, and this is like just a huge demonstration of how incompetent the leader of the military is. So I don't know, it's all so funny.
I used to think like you that, like, surely the American voters will see this and think, no, this is too much. We can't all. This has gone too far, and I just don't think that's possible anymore.
That's right. Because every time something this happens,
okay. Well, not his base. Not his base. Anyway, his base is gone forever.
No, there are some people that are just like they're in it. Yeah. They've lost friend. They've lost family. They've sold their soul to this man.
Yeah.
And they cannot admit that it was not worth it at this point. It's the sunken cost fallacy at play.
Yeah. In the end, he will lose because enough people who otherwise don't care will be so pissed off that they will, it'll just be like the first time he was president all over again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that everybody that voted for him is an idiot. I just think that they were lied to.
No, they're very misinformed.
Yeah.
It's just too funny.
But
it's
like, be a better judge of character, even if you did vote for him for, you know, one of the lies, one of the promises you'll never fulfill. Yeah. Even if you did judge, can't you fucking take a look at the guy and be like, this is not a trustworthy man. He's a man. Him bitching about his portrait is just another example of him having the maturity of a 13-year-old.
I actually looked at it before I read that he hated it, and I thought, like, oh, that's flattering.
That's what I said. And then I went online and everybody was saying the same thing. I was like, this actually looks way better than you really look. Did you realize that? What do you think?
They actually captured him quite well.
I thought they gave him did too many favors.
Well, here's you know what's scary? He might I think facial recognition. Okay. If you this is this group chat thing, right?
Yeah.
In the group chat, they're debating what he actually wants, if he actually wants to do this.
Uh-huh.
Right? Did you notice that?
No, I only read like a couple of highlight things. Can you summarize?
If you read between the lines, they are in this group chat because they don't actually know. They aren't really sure if they should do this. And they're trying to like talk themselves into doing it.
Right.
That's because like J.D. Vance says, I don't think we should do this.
Really?
Because it goes against the president's message about America first. Only because he says only
3% has done that so far.
Yeah, but this is what J.D. Vance is saying, right? In this group chat, he's saying only 3% of our trade goes through this canal. But like 80% of Europe's trade or whatever goes through it. Mm-hmm. So he's saying we're just bailing out Europe. I don't see like this doesn't jibe with the president's message and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so they're literally like, they're not like outright arguing with each other, but they are like, it's kind of like they have to justify why they're going to do this to J.D. Vance. And then at the end, but like to finally actually get it to happen, Stephen Miller, who's like the ultra loyalist who's been there since the first term, he just says, if I recall correctly, the president said to do the strike. And so now we're going to do blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And then it basically happens.
If I recall correctly. He's talking which is basically about this, like saying, this war like, plan, like I'm talking about Warriors, something I watched.
Yeah, basically, years it's just ago. Like, well, here's how I read it, right? They're all talking about J.D. Vance, like, should we do, I don't think we should do this. And they're like, yes, we should, blah, blah, blah. And then Stephen Miller comes in and says, because everyone knows this is the ultra loyalist.
Yeah.
Trump loves loyalty more than anything. Trump loves Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
Stephen Miller comes out and says, this is what the president said. Right? Which is like, this is what the man said. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's seriously like,
this is what daddy said to do. So we're doing it.
This is like, someone pointed this out, but this is like, you just know this happens all the time. Trump says, let's bomb the Houthis.
Mm-hmm.
And then these people have to go out and like actually
figure out a way to justify
it. Yeah. Cause they're so scared of like questioning him.
Yeah.
Or saying, no, we shouldn't do that. That he says this stuff that makes no sense. Go bomb the Houthis. And then they have to like figure out what to do about it.
Man, they're all going to turn on him once his approval rating dips. I just know it. I just know so many people are like going to be like,
I don't know. I don't think they will turn on him. The question is, when does he turn on them?
The
when
second
does Trump start throwing people under the bus? Him at
all. He's going to notice that they're not as gung-ho about things he suggests as they usually are. Yeah. And then,
did you hear what happened just before this one?
I mean, I can't keep up anymore.
There's so much shit, right? He said, so there was this, we were just talking about how gangs, right?
Yeah.
So he deported 200 migrants to El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, right? You heard about this?
Well, I heard him threaten to deport Tesla vandals to El Salvador.
Okay, so this is actually happened. He deported 200 migrants to El Salvador.
Yeah.
With no due process.
Yeah.
Right? These were just people who were picked up.
Yeah.
And deported to El Salvador.
Illegal migrants? Or differentiating at this point?
Well, no. Okay. A, they didn't have due process, so no one has actually determined anything about them.
Right.
One of them was actually, and they violated a court order to do this because they had no due process.
Mm-hmm.
So a judge said you have to turn the planes around, and they didn't. And then they launched more. And then they launched more planes. So they ignored a court order, which is like the first step towards a. Total dictatorship.
Hasn't he done that before, though? Hasn't he done that in the past?
Probably, but anyway. So they violated this gang court order, and one of the people on the plane, the only reason he had been deemed a gang member was because he had a tattoo of a soccer ball with a crown on it. Which is, it's just like a cheap knockoff of Real Madrid's logo.
Right.
And then this guy, he didn't just have a tattoo of a soccer ball, right? And then they said, oh, he's a gang member because he flashed, there's a picture of him doing like the metal sign, like the devil metal sign. And guess who this guy is?
I'm a gang member too then.
Yeah. And this guy, he's a professional soccer player and children's soccer coach.
Oh, you idiot.
And now he's in an El Salvadorian prison.
He's still there? He actually ended up there.
Yeah. They ignored the court order. They ignored court order. Turn the planes around. You don't have any, there's been no due process. You don't actually know if these people did anything.
Yeah.
Nope. We're going to ignore the court order. So it really is amazing. But so anyway, so he signed an order to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all this comes out that they violated court orders for due process. They just rounded up people, sent them to another country, to a notorious prison with no due process.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said that the day before they had said he had signed the order to do this, like in the middle of the night. And then he said, I didn't sign it.
Wait, didn't he just accuse Biden of not signing things properly?
Yes. He said, I didn't sign it. Other people handled it. Marco Rubio is doing a great job.
God damn it.
Okay, well, so did he sign it? Did he not sign it? Is someone getting thrown under the bus? What's going on?
I think that always someone's going to get thrown under the bus. Yeah. Anytime something goes on. What?
Well, this is the thing, right? His administration is amateur hour. Mm-hmm. Because the only people who are willing to work for this guy are not there because of any actual qualifications.
No, I told you. Literally, they're there because they're the most... They have the most screen time.
They have the most loyalty. They are willing to suck the most of his orange asshole.
Yeah.
They are everything that they say DEI is. They are that. You are not hired based on anything other than loyalty and how orange your face is for being up his ass.
And he seems to really like people that have been on TV a lot. He loves it. What's up with Tulsi Gabbard?
Well, yeah, his defense secretary is from Fox and Friends.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy who did this.
You spent a lot of time on TV. You know who'd be great as a prime minister? Wayne Gretzky. It's like, why? No. Because he's the most famous Canadian I know. And that's all you need. What's up with Tulsi Gabbard's fucking Rogue from X-Men hairdo thing? Is that like a choice she makes, or is that legit like pigment loss?
I don't know. Could be either one, maybe.
She thinks she's a fucking superhero.
Nature often does that when they want to signal to other creatures that, like, I'm toxic, right? Like a skunk has like the white stripe. I'm toxic.
So you think this is an evolutionary trait?
This is an evolutionary trait to warn people that she's toxic.
Yeah. I see. I just saw clips of the guy being like, her getting grilled in front of Congress or whatever. She just had no answers other than there was no classified information on the Signal group chat. The guy's like, okay, well, share it with the committee then. And she just is silent. This doesn't look good. And I've even seen the conservative subreddit start being like, all of them need to be fired. So at least they're not out of their minds.
Okay.
I mean, they are in a lot of ways, but at least they are like...
It's almost like practically his entire... So many people are on that, in that group. It's nuts.
What do you mean? Oh,
that group chat.
Oh.
The group chat, it's like forgetting the fact that they leaked it to a journalist by accident.
Yeah.
Just conducting the meeting in that particular group chat, that app.
Yeah.
Is probably against the Espionage Act.
I was surprised at... This is how they
one of them was in Russia. One of them was in Moscow.
Yeah, I read that too.
I
was just surprised that anything of this magnitude gets discussed on group chat. Like, I would imagine this was an in-person locked doors, fucking guards at the doors, underground discussion, right?
Like, this is what incompetence looks like.
Like, they're just like nailing down the war plans while they're like waiting for their Uber or some shit. That's insane.
Yeah, because they are flying off the cuff of the dementia president. Like, they can't have they're like, fuck, get on Signal. What the fuck?
What are we doing? Are we attacking? What are we bombing today? Houthis? Okay, where are they again? Are they in the north? Okay, point to it on a map, please.
Houthi and the Blowfish? What is this?
Houthi and the Blowfish? I love that band.
Yeah.
Pete Hegseth is bringing his little G.I. Joe toys to the meeting so he can demonstrate what he wants to do.
We're going to lay it here. Then
right? Boom. And then this tank's going to come and go, bruff, bruff, bruff. And then the plane's going to be like, poo, 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 poo. Right? And then everybody's going to go, bruh.
Yeah.
And yeah, Trump's like, excellent, excellent, excellent.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Sometimes I want to be like, look, this is they're doing this on purpose for some reason. But no, I don't think so. I think it's just this is just what it looks like when they don't.
This is just what really incompetent people do at the most complicated jobs on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one thinks it's a bad idea to talk about this on this app. It's so strange.
It's like really they're just phoning in their jobs at this point. It feels like if they're not directly on TV, they all love being on TV.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Cash Patel fucking making that children's book about Trump being king should disqualify him from any government job.
I didn't know about that.
You haven't seen it? No. Oh my God. Okay. I'm going to look this up so you can look it up. What is his name? Cash Patel?
Yeah.
Patel children's book. This is clearly why he was selected, because Trump probably loved The Plot Against the King, it's called.
Oh.
And it's literally a picture book Cash Patel wrote. And it's all about Trump being king and people coming after him. And then Cash is in the book as well as his wizard advisor. So it's like... It's like, what's his name? What's that famous Arthur, King Arthur, and then his wizard? What was his wizard's name again?
Merlin.
He thinks he's Merlin, and Trump is King Arthur. Yeah. Look it up.
Elon is Merlin. Come on.
You're right. Elon is Merlin. What the fuck? I don't think Elon made the cut in the book. Maybe we should order this book and read it.
Send
on the
this
podcast.
Book to Elon. He's not going to like that.
Elon's going to make his own book.
How am I not Merlin?
How am I not Merlin? Cybertruck is safe. It's safe. Yeah. I wonder how many units it sold. Let's see. He's probably made a fuck ton of money on this book. It is such a funny thing to be like, you know who needs to know about this persecution of my favorite guy is the children.
Well, this is the pendulum swinging back, right? Liberals tried to teach kids that, you know, don't be mean to other gay kids or other kids of other races.
Mm-hmm.
And so now this is the pushback. We have to have a king.
I mean, to be fair, the far, far left had some crazy ass ideas too, but everything needs to settle back. That pendulum needs to come back to the middle, for fuck's sakes.
Hey, look, I would not say ban this book from schools.
I wouldn't either. I think it's hilarious.
put it on the shelf and let people talk about it. That's the wonder of free speech.
Yeah.
Because I'm against banning books. I'm against it.
I am as well. I think let people decide for themselves, even if it's a horrific book. And also banning books just makes people curious about them, right? Like what kind of morons like, I can't read that, it's banned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, hold on. There's this crazy thing where Mein Kampf is not banned in US prisons.
Okay.
But another book is banned, and I think it's To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh wow! Okay,
I'm gonna Google it. Is To Kill a Mockingbird banned in U.S. prisons?
Do, 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 do,
yeah, let's see where To Kill a Mockingbird is banned.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
Oh, I know.
All right, on a side mission. Yeah, I was just on a side mission about Tulsi Gabbard's hair. Stark Hand, okay, has become part of her signature glamorous look. Okay, this is obviously a pro. I've chosen to keep it as a daily reminder of terrible cost of war, who pays the price of war, and the importance of peace. What is that? What? How did you get it?
Wait, what is that? You say that again?
Oh, yeah, she got it when she was at war, I guess. And then she's like, I'm going to keep it.
How did she get it in the war? Did you say?
She just said she just noticed it getting more gray. I would.
Oh, okay. Just like stress. Okay.
I think that it was probably just stress, but also she's chosen to like keep dying, it sounds like. So this is part of her look. She's Rogue from the X-Men.
Okay. Everything she touches dies. Nice.
Fucking touche. Touche. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. I got about 5 more minutes left of podding here. I got to eat dinner before I get the boy down. The baby boy. Man, he's been sleeping good, though. Holy. It's like a whole new world out there.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's been good. He's been sleeping well. We've been getting sleep. It's like the troubled times are nigh over.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Smooth sailing ahead.
Mean, I knock on wood, but yeah, I mean, we still got teething probably just around the corner. But as of this last week, he's been sleeping better than he ever has. So it's like, whew, it's been a whole new breath of fresh air. We actually get like some time at night to like just not do anything because he goes to bed so early.
Solid food.
We're just starting that today, basically. So we just had a 6-month checkup. They said, go ahead, start giving him like, you know, small morsels of solid food. He's allowed to take a few sips of water from here, you know, now and again. He's never had a glass of water in his life.
Wow. What was his first food?
His
solid bite.
Well, we haven't had like solids, but like if I like have like some melted chocolate on my finger or something from like eating something, and I'll just like stick it in his mouth and see how he reacts. So he's tried things. He's just never had like a full mouthful of anything. He's only had like tastes of like strawberry, banana, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Right on.
Certain things he definitely has. Oh, I gave him a little bit of curry. He liked that. Some stuff is like clearly he likes, and some other stuff he clearly does not like. It's weird.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes, it's all very interesting. It's a crazy experience watching a baby grow, because like you just see them start like figuring out the very basics of life. Like he figured out how to like, he realized that he has feet, so he's like loving grabbing his toes now. But like I sometimes catch him like just staring at his own hand and his own fingers, like moving him around, like being like, am I doing this?
I've been there on shrooms.
That's why I've always said, if you take a high enough dose of mushrooms, you basically get transported back to toddler level, like experience, like novelty. Like,
yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
I did a joke about it on my last album, but it's like everything. If you're out in the woods and you're really high on mushrooms, you behave like a toddler. Like you're looking at through picking up sticks, you're playing in mud. You're like, everything's so fascinating. And then like in the same sense, your emotions can be on like the same. You can get upset by trivial shit. You can get like super excited about trivial shit, just like a toddler. So I don't know. Anyways, I think I'm going to cut this one here. Watch the Warriors. Email us at tpspod420. @gmail.com if we have any listeners at all whatsoever.
But don't go vandalize a Tesla as much as you might want to.
And if you do, I'm not gonna say anything.
I won't say anything. I won't blame you.
Yeah. And just ask yourself every morning, can you dig it? Make Cyrus proud. That's what we all should be doing. What would Cyrus do? Go watch the Warriors, email us, and I don't know. We're just going to keep doing this podcast. I don't know how many listeners we have, but we're just going to keep going. Keep it going.
Oh, everything's computer.
Oh. Oh, what? It's got a camera on the back. I can see what's coming out the back.
Baron, he turned on a laptop. I said, how'd you do that? He said, none of your business, Dad.
That one sentence has so many fucking alarming things about it. That implies you don't know how to turn one on, President.
I told him to turn off the laptop. Came back 5 minutes later, it's on again. I said, how'd you do that?
Where'd you put the power in? The files are in the computer.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Toodles.
All right, goodbye.
the stone.